I was telling the pastor this week, I said, I think two of my dogs got saved this week as I was studying. Get a chance to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I appreciate if you stand as we read God's Word. We're going to be reading from 25 to 37. Luke chapter 10. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance they came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he pressed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we open up your word today, I pray, Lord, that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, to get your message out to your people here on what our job is and what we need to be doing. We'll use these verses, Lord, to try to accomplish that. I pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide, that everything that is said from this pulpit would be from your throne room on high. Bless, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The name of it, of the message, Daddy says, you got to have a name. I said, well, the other side, or also, who is your neighbor? I want us to think about the other side. The first two men in this passage chose the other side. It was a bad choice. You see, there is God's side and the other side. God's side, there is work to be done. People to help, souls to be saved. The third man's choice was God's side. It was a good choice. It was the right choice. We're going to look into a little bit of that as we go, but many choose the other side. It's the easier side. It's the easiest side to go, the other side, and not God's side. It's the easiest side, but not for the man that had fallen. He needed someone. We look at the easy side of things. It's easy on Sunday morning to stay home. Not go to Sunday school, not go to church. I'll just listen to a little bit of TV and radio. The Bible says, not forsaking the assemblies of God's people. We need each other. We need to be praying for each other. We need to know what to be praying for others. In Hebrews chapter 25, in Hebrews 10:25, what does the Bible say? It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, or the other side, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, the day is approaching. All we have to do is look what happens in the world today on TV and on the radio and even in our own lives. Would you not say amen to the days approaching? Things are changing. They're changing quicker than I ever thought. So we have the days approaching. It's easier not to give out tracts, go soul winning. It's easier not to witness and being a part of the other side. But it's not in any part of that easy for the lost. Our job is to teach the lost, show them where they are lost, and show them where they need to be going, which side they need to be taking, what their choices need to be. It's a lot easier not to work in areas of ministry. I've always thought and prayed that, for the past, many, many areas of responsibility in the church that need to be, that need people that need to work. Not only do those areas need to be fulfilled, but you need to be a part of it too. Amen? I mean, it's a growing. We're growing in the Lord every day. I've always heard that, you know, if you're not growing, you're going backwards. If you're not going forwards for the Lord, if you're doing less than you were doing at your best for the Lord, then you're backslid if you're not doing it. There's many older people that can't quite do what they used to do, but I'll tell you what, they can pray. I think of Grandma Waller. Boy, I'll tell you what, I used to go over there, and you know what she says? I'm praying for you, son. That meant so much to me to know that woman of God, 101 years old, was praying for this church, praying for this pastor, and praying that we would be where we need to be. She did all she could do, and it was so much. Are you doing what you can do? Are you filling the responsibilities that the Lord wants you to do? Not the pastor, what the Lord wants you to do. I've always felt through the years that the Lord never asked the pastor to ask me to do something that the Lord didn't give me the ability to do it. You know, we always think about Moses and Aaron. Well, who made your mouth? You know, the Lord will give you the ability to do the job if the job is open, because you're still breathing. It is easier for a doctor to stay home, especially if he has what we need. It's easier for him to stay home and not go out and take care of. I think of the old days when the doctor used to go out with a horse and buggy. He had what the person needed, but he had to get from where he was at there. We have to get to heaven. We have to get to God's house to be able to go out there and tell people. How do we know who to lead to the Lord? How do we know youth ministry? We have youth ministry that needs prayers. We have children's church that need prayers. We have older people that need to be visited. And by the way, Everett's doing great. Saw him yesterday for an hour or so, and I probably get in trouble, but I gave him a couple little pinwheels. You know how he loves those pinwheels. But you know something? We have a job to do. Each and every one of us has an area of responsibility for the Lord. Make sure you're filling the one that he has for you. God's side, not the other side. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. For the first two men, it would have been a lot better had they not chose the other side. But they did. The other side that they chose was the most pleasant and easiest for them. It was easy for them. There's no pleasure in binding up the wounds of a person that's laying on the side of the road. There's no pleasure in witnessing suffering. Just think about the hurt. Don't turn your head away. How many times are you walking and all of a sudden you see something and all of a sudden you put your eyes down and you walk away because you don't want anybody to know you actually saw what was going on? We all have that. We all do that every now and then. Man, if I don't see it, I don't have to be responsible for it. Well, let me tell you something. We're responsible for a lot of things, and one of them is getting out the word of God to the people that need to be saved. Amen? That's what most Christians do today. They just turn their head and they think, you know, someone else will do it. There's always someone else. Well, maybe now is that someone else is you. We have a job to do. Besides, it would take time. The other side says, ah, that would take too much time. They just don't have time for, you know, for all that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, remembering the time, because the days are evil. Are we not living in some evil days? Everything lines up with the Word of God. It's not me speaking. This is the Word of God speaking to you. And I hope it finds a place in your heart today, and I hope it stirs some chords down there that need to be stirred. Let's look at the location of our story. Through this we can learn a few things about the first scene. And this is a story. This is Jesus bringing up a story of these three different, the traveler, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. This is a story he's trying to relate to an attorney, a lawyer, that tried to pin him down and to cause problems for Jesus. But in this story, the first scene of the story is from the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was notoriously a dangerous road. You notice in the Bible, whenever you read, it talks about Jerusalem, that they were always going up to Jerusalem. Well, there's a reason for that. Jerusalem was 2,600 feet above sea level. Jericho was 1,300 feet below sea level. Within a 20-mile trip, on the road that we're talking about, where all of this happened, it's a 3,600 foot drop in 20 miles. Or if you're going the other way, it's 3,600 foot rise. So they were always going up to Jerusalem or down from Jerusalem. It was a narrow road. It was a rough road. It had a lot of turns, and it was very, very difficult to travel. And it was a great place for the happy hunting grounds for those that wanted to take on a straggler going down. Now, you have to remember that this road, traveling by yourself, you're asking for trouble. So this traveler being by himself was asking for trouble. But it happens. He's on the road. Back in the 5th century, this road, this road that they traveled, it had a name. It had a name in past history books. It talks about this road being called the Red or the Bloody Way because of so much trouble on this road that they traveled. It was in the 19th century. It was still necessary at this point in time to pay for passage. They'd have a guy at the front saying, "You got to pay me if you want safe passage." Well, the only other way, if you're traveling by yourself without paying one of the sheikhs in the area for safe travel, was you had to go in a van or a caravan or a group for safety. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. I believe that. Amen? So Jesus told of the everyday happenings of this road as he was talking to the lawyer. We're going to look at some of the different characters in this story. And one of them was the traveler. He was obviously reckless and a foolhardy character. He shouldn't have been where he was, but he was there. It happened. People seldom travel this road alone. Safety in numbers as they travel was what you had to try and do. Then there was the priest of the Jerusalem temple. He passed by quietly, thinking, remembering, if he even touched or came close to this body, because there was blood on it, because it would take something that he would have to do to help this person, he passed by. He would be unclean for 7 days if he touched this body. So he wanted nothing to do with it. He just passed on the other side. There was a Levite. He was an assistant to the first priest. Both men religious professionals. The Levites seemed to have gone nearer, maybe a little closer. Slow down a little bit. He went over to look before he passed on. But he wanted nothing to do with touching him either. And then there was the Samaritan. Samaritans were Jews whose ancestry came from the northern tribes of Israel. And they had long ago intermarried with some of the Assyrians. And one of the biggest problems that caused it, the Assyrians believed, and the Samaritans, that their worship place was a place called Mount Gerizim. That was where they were doing their worshiping, was there instead of Jerusalem. And for these reasons, they had nothing to do with the Samaritans, because they weren't full-blooded Jews. As we look at the different sides, you have God's side and you have the other side. The other side was the least expensive. It wasn't going to cost a whole lot for the priest to just walk on by and forget about it. Didn't cost the Levite anything to go by and get a little bit closer and look and keep right on going. These two men got off scot-free. They weren't out a penny. Oh, they may have thought about it as they went on their way. They may have, even knowing that he was a Samaritan, maybe even laughed that maybe he had what he had, what happened to him, he had coming. It cost the third man. In Luke chapter 10 that we started off with reading, verses 33 through 35, it says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he was journeying, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence and he gave them to the host and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again and I will repay thee.'" Does not that sound like the picture of Jesus? He came, he paid it all, and what's his promise to us? That he will be coming back. He will be coming back to take us home. The good Samaritan said, "When I come back again, I will repay thee." And Jesus said those same words in Revelation. It says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I give every man according to his work shall it be." Whatever work we do, our rewards will be coming with Jesus. What are you doing for Jesus today? Amen. We got work to do. We got work to do here. Praying. Doing the work that the Lord has before us. But in the end, faith for the Samaritan proved most worthy. Things worth noting. Let's think about the Samaritan. Let's think of some of the things that were worth mentioning for him. Now remember, we had the traveler who shouldn't have been there. We had the priest that just kept right on by. We had the Levite who went a little bit closer. But we had the Samaritan that gave of not only his time, and he was prepared. He was prepared to take care of the traveler that was where he shouldn't have been. He came to him, number one.
It is self-control.
He has brought on his problems on himself that have brought a lot of problems on themselves. You know, without thinking, without really knowing where they should be or what direction they should go, they bring on a lot of problems themselves. And a lot of times we want to just turn our backs and not have anything to do with it. Oh, they had it coming. It's their own problem. It's their own fault. Well, you know something? By the grace of God, that could be us. He poured the healing oil and the wine on his wounds, and he bandaged them. He had that stuff with him. He was prepared to do what he needed to do on the trip. God will prepare us to do what's ahead of us in our everyday walk with him in the areas of the church of responsibility. We don't need to be on the other side. We need to be on God's side, doing what God wants us to be doing every day, not just Sunday. We don't come here just to appease ourselves and say, oh, hey, I went to church Sunday. There's 6 more days that the Lord wants to use us and work through us in this community. What are you doing for me? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? He gave his all for us. What are we doing for him? This man, the Samaritan, he was prepared to help. Are you prepared to help? He put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. He didn't bring him there and drop him off the front there and say, hey, he's all yours. No. The Bible says that he stayed with him through the night to help him, to take care of his needs. Any man of any nation who is in need is our neighbor. Is our neighbor. Do you pray for those that are in need that we don't even know? Do you pray for those that you need, that you live next to? Family members, friends. When's the last time you talked to them about the Lord? There's many people today that will listen to us more about the Lord because hopefully they see in you what they need in their lives. What kind of an example or a witness are you to them? Our hope must be as wide as the love of God. Our help, we need to have, you know, people looking, wow, we're always helping everybody else. Remember something that the world looks at about the United States. It looks at us and it says, even on our money, in God we trust. People are looking to us for help. They're looking to us for leadership and guidance. We need to be praying that we get the right leadership and guidance. Amen? We got a job to do. Can we pray? Amen, we can pray. Not just when we sit down to eat and say, dear Lord, thank us for this food. Amen. When's the last time you really talked to the Lord, got close to the Lord? He cared for him through the night. And I want you to know that his credit was good. When he went to that inn, that's where he has been before. How many other times has he maybe had to do the same thing as he did here? How many times do we have to lead somebody to the Lord? Till there's not any more that need to be saved. And then I can't wait to hear the words from the Lord saying, come up. It's time. Rapture. Let's go. But our work is not done because we're still here. I look at the fact that the very, very next day, he had made provisions. Set aside provisions. Not only did it cost him for his time, and put him on his beast for the healing oil and the wine that they gave him and the bandages that they gave him and take him to the inn and paid for his inn. He said, he left some money. He says, this will take care of him. And if you need any more when I come back through, I will repay. Is that not the picture of Jesus? All that he did for us, dying on the cross, coming down here. And what did he tell us? He says, when he comes back, he's going to bring his blessings with us for those that believe in him. I hope you're prepared and I hope you're ready. If you had to stand before God today, would you be excited and happy? Yes. But would you be embarrassed because you had, I wonder, have I done enough for Jesus? Don't be in that position. Don't be in that situation. Christianity doesn't get more basic than that. A caring, compassionate heart is absolutely essential to the message that we have to share with the world today. Are you sharing the world? I remember back years ago when I was a little kid, years ago, that there was tracts all over the place. You couldn't go anywhere without picking up a tract that told somebody how they could be saved. Maybe we need to have, you know, if you have a problem talking to somebody, take a tract out, hand it to them, let them read it, say, anything you want to talk about? You know, we know how to talk to people. It's just breaking the code of silence. I don't have any problem talking. Never have. But First Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 15, it says, now if any man build a foundation on gold and silver and precious stone and wood and hay and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What is your work? Will it stand the test? If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. We have a job to do. There's good, better, best things. Let's make sure that we're doing the best we can do for the Lord. Make sure you're standing in the gap. Make sure you're holding the pastor's hands up as he endeavors to build this church, to go out and tell other people about the Lord. That's not just his responsibility, it's ours. His responsibility is to build us up so that we go out and do it. We don't need to rely on him to do everything. We have a job to do, people. This phrase has just caught me hard. And if you don't remember anything for today, remember this. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. How much do you care? That's what each and every one of us have to look in our hearts and answer ourselves. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. The last words that Jesus said to this lawyer about what he needed to do was, you knew all the right answers, even though he was trying to trip up Jesus. He knew all the right answers. But what did he tell him to do? He said, go and do likewise. It's my challenge for you is today. Go out and do likewise. You want somebody to tell you about the Lord? You wanted to be saved? Go out and do likewise. If every person in here led someone to the Lord this week, or maybe someone that's been led to the Lord hasn't been to church, these pews would be full. We'd have to be putting out more chairs. What is our job? Our job is to come here and get excited. We enter in here to worship the Lord. We leave to serve. Which side are you on? Are you on God's side or the other side? Let's make sure we're on God's side and let's get people saved. Let's get the excitement back. Not just coming to church on Sunday. Get the excitement about telling somebody about the Lord. There's nothing greater than to see someone that you know led to the Lord that you're going to spend eternity with. Especially if he's an enemy. You can take another friend to heaven. Amen? That's what it's all about, people. Which side are you on? Let's stand and pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. I pray, Lord, that it would find a resting place in each and every one of our hearts. That we would not only be challenged, Lord, but we would go out and do what the Word of God says we need to be doing. Going to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in is our job. Bless as only you can in the service. As people check their hearts, their lives, be where they need to be. And Lord, bring us back to the next appointed time. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. May we do more for you than we have in the past. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our songbooks to 5, 6, 4.